This break is brought to you by The Marine Biology Trip, an evidence for faith adventure in science and the Bible in the Florida Keys for ages 14 and up. Here's what a past student had to say.
And it's an educational hands-on experience that you will never forget. It's gonna stick with you. And you learn things that you probably wouldn't have learned in normal school. It's not what I expected to come here, but it exceeded my expectations of what it would be like. Because I thought it would just be like, okay, we do some homework, we snorkel, bam, done. You know, we see some fish. But like, we got to see some really cool stuff, and I've formed a lot of cool friendships that I probably never would have without the trip.
Find out more about this adventure by clicking the link in the description or go to evidenceforfaith.org/marinebiology. That's evidence, the number 4, faith.org/marinebiology.
Coming up on this episode.
How we conduct our lives in every corner of our life. How are we supposed to do this? How do we conduct our lives in every aspect? I'm talking every single aspect of your life. If your life is like a house, in each room of the house, how are we supposed to live? You do it as an act of worship for Him. Matter of fact, Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We are to live our lives in worshiping God. Now, that does not mean, please understand, that does not mean that we're all to be pastors or we're all to be missionaries out on some foreign field. No. What it's saying is, in all that we do it for the Lord. Hi, welcome to Evidence for Faith. It's your host, Michael Lane. So glad you're joining me today as we explore the last lesson in the series we're doing on five things that do not change. We've already seen lessons on how God does not change, His love for us does not change, salvation does not change, His word does not change. And today we're going to look at and focus on that my purpose in life does not change. So before we go any further, let's ask for the Holy Spirit's help in teaching us. Our Father, we ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to take the scriptures you've got here to answer this important question and to see how our purpose is in life and that it hasn't changed from when you first started creating. That this is our purpose. So help us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, when I was working at a camp in the North Woods of Wisconsin, a young lady on summer staff came up to me and said, I just can't figure out why I'm here. I can't really find my purpose in life, she said. She asked me, can you help me figure out my purpose and why I'm here on earth? I told her, this startled her too, I told her, well, it depended upon her worldview. If she believed in Darwinian evolution, her purpose would be very simple. The answer is, she has no real purpose. To cite well-known evolutionist Dr. William Provine, who said that there is no God or purpose to life. There is no foundation for ethics. There is no free will. There is no life after death. There is no ultimate meaning to life. We should just live our lives doing what we want, living for ourselves, because, as he said, when we are dead, we are dead. And there's nothing else. Or to quote famous naturalist Dr. Paul Kurtz from his book, The Humanist Alternative, quote, using the powerful critical tools of science and logical analysis, modern man now recognizes that the universe has no special human meaning or purpose, and that man is not a special product of creation, unquote. Thus, I told her, it's up to your worldview. If this is her worldview, she has no purpose and it doesn't matter if she lived or died because it wouldn't matter to this world. But, I continued, if you have a biblical worldview, it's a totally different matter. You see, with a biblical worldview, there is a starting point to the universe. There is a God who created her in His image. She is loved by this Creator God who wants a close, personal relationship with her. He didn't need to create her, but He chose to do it so that she would glorify Him and worship Him. Then she will live forever with Him. I just gave you the answer. But let's go deeper into this. You see, I find it amazing how many people in this world do not know their purpose in life. I suppose it's related to how many people do not have a biblical worldview. But I believe that the Creator God gave us a gift of 66 love letters. And in these 66 love letters, He poured out His heart into these so that we could know Him and know our purpose in life. He also put into His followers His Holy Spirit to guide, to counsel, transform us to be more like His Son. And that this Holy Spirit gives us each at least one spiritual gift. All true Christians get at least one spiritual gift. These are people following Christ, and the purpose of that is to edify the church. So where do you find the answers to life? Well, they're all located in the 66 love letters that we got from God. But for time's sake, we're going to focus just on one letter to find the answer. So if you have your Bibles with you, and you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. If not, you can just listen to me. I'll be reading sections, as I often do in my podcast. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we've already looked at this chapter once before in this series. We're going to go back to it. Because here is a long list of famous Bible characters of faith. As I said, we mentioned these in previous lessons. And this chapter even starts off with, what is faith? The question. So this chapter is often called the faith chapter by many Christians, many pastors, because the word faith, pistuo, in Greek, appears here so often. And remember, the Greek term pistuo is translated into English as faith or a belief. Now, look carefully at the listings that we see here of faith in this chapter. You see, the author of Hebrews, I find this amazing to myself, I find the author of Hebrews could have used hundreds of different biblical characters in his description. I mean, the Bible's full of them, right? And he could have used all these different characters and descriptions to make the definition of what faith is. But under the influence, we must remember, of the Holy Spirit, he chose these few people, and then he writes about them, and in doing so, he is giving us our purpose in life by using their example. Let's examine them and glean what we can from their lives to answer the question of what our purpose in life is. So let's start at verse 4 of chapter 11. And as usual, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, unless I tell you otherwise. So, 11:4 of the book of Hebrews. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Now, you might be sitting here, what's this got to do with helping me know my purpose in life? Look carefully. When you do a Bible study, don't read it as a novel. Look at the words carefully. It says here, Abel's sacrifice. What is that? That's an act of worship to God. An act of worshiping God. And we start off with this. We are to worship God. We were created to worship God, and thus, one of our key purposes in life is to worship God in what we do. Whatever we do, we should do it as if we're doing it for God. That's Colossians 3:17 and 3:22. Let me read those because I love those two verses. I used to keep these on 3x5 cards in my office when I used to teach school, and I had them on my computer. It reads in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And verse 22 is basically the same. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. How we conduct our lives in every corner of our life. How are we supposed to do this? How do we conduct our lives in every aspect? I'm talking every single aspect of your life. If your life is like a house, in each room of the house, how are we supposed to live? You do it as an act of worship for Him. Matter of fact, Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We are to live our lives in worshiping God. Now, that does not mean, please understand, that does not mean that we're all to be pastors or we're all to be missionaries out on some foreign field. No. What it's saying is, in all that we do it for the Lord. You understand that? Whatever career you choose, whatever path you follow in life, keep your eyes on Him. So if your career is not mocking you, I'm just stating this is a fact. If some of you will be maybe cleaning rooms, housekeeping, maybe working at some big building or whatever, if your career is to clean rooms, clean them as if the Lord was staying in that room. Some of you might be called to be teachers. If you teach, do your absolute best as you're doing it as to the Lord. Like the Lord is your principal, he's also sitting in your classroom. Say, for instance, you drive a vehicle for a career. Do it as if the Lord is sitting in the seat next to you. If you work at a register for some store, work as if Jesus was your boss and Jesus is also your customer who's coming right up to your register. In other words, let all your actions be an act of worship and sacrifice. That's what the scripture is telling us. Here is a key purpose to our life. One of the most important purposes every Christian has is to use the gifts, the talents that you have to edify others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul writes, alluding to the spiritual gifts given to us by God. He names some of them and tells us why we have been given these. Seven times in this chapter, he writes the use of these gifts is to build up the church, build up Christians. That's a lot, seven times. Each of us has the purpose of edification, which means to build up, like you're building a structure to build up the church. And that, like I say, that's the definition of edification. It's the act of building. And remember, the body of believers is the church. It's not the building. The first church met in houses. It'd be a long time before they started building special structures. So you have a purpose to use the gifts God is giving you to build up other Christians. Let's go to the next verse in Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now, some of you are probably sitting there wondering, who in the world is Enoch? Well, there's a couple of different Enochs in the Bible. The one being referred to here is the son of Jared, who was the father of Methuselah. This is back in the book of Genesis. And we read in Scripture that he never died because he walked so closely with God that it says in Scriptures that God just took him because he pleased God. Thus, he never experienced death as we know it. What does this have to do with my purpose in life, you're wondering? Well, examine this verse to find out. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to be reading four words out of this verse. Enoch walked with God. That's it. Enoch walked with God. So what is my purpose? What can I glean from this on how I should live my life? Enoch shows us that we are to walk with God. That's what this chapter is showing us about our faith and what we're supposed to be doing in our life. We are to walk with God. How do we do that? Great question. It's through communication. That's prayer, you know, talking to God. And through listening to God, that's studying His Word. We need to study, not just read it like a novel, but to study His Word. Daily prayer, daily Bible study are so important in us fulfilling our lives and destiny. Through His Word, He grants us access to walk through our lives successfully. Matter of fact, look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember, when you walk closely with God, He will steer you. His Word can guide you. We could go further on that, but let's just move into the next one. Let's look at verse 7, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Michael, what is my purpose and how am I supposed to live my life by this example? Well, let's go back. Noah was living in a time when it was not very conducive to walk with God. As a matter of fact, Moses, in writing Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, relates to this. He tells us what life was like in those days. Genesis 6, 5 reads, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You see, God had created a perfect world of peace and tranquility, but man had reduced it to wickedness and evil. It was full of, by now, of corruption. So God calls on Noah, a righteous man, blameless in his generation, who walked with God. Matter of fact, that's Genesis 6:9 tells us this, living an uncorrupted life, and tells him that judgment was coming upon the earth. But God used Noah to be the agent by which salvation would come out of this catastrophe. He tells Noah to build the first ever ocean-going barge, and that all who enter into it will be saved. Through the word of God, he gave Noah a job to do, and Noah does what God instructed him to do. There's your key. Noah did what God instructed him to do. No doubt he didn't fully understand all that was about to happen. Still, he did what God told him to do. You see that Noah shows us that we are to do, our purpose in life is to do what God tells us to. In other words, serve God. Let's go to the next verse. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8, in the very first part of 9, let me read this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went. So this is a very important one, because this verse tells us, using Abraham's example, Abraham shows us that we are to obey God. Even when it doesn't make sense, we are to obey God. Even if we don't understand the outcome, we are to obey God. I like how it ended there in the beginning of verse 9, where it says, by faith he went. Faith, that's that word pishtuo. It's talking about the by trusting and committing to God, he goes out. That's what we're supposed to do with our lives. So how do we obey God? How do we do this? We must know the mind of God, which we are so fortunate that we can know the mind of God by reading and studying his word. But that is not all. We must take what we have read and apply it to our lives. Like I say, not just reading it as a novel. We are to assimilate what we feed on in our Bible study time. Note, I said the word assimilate and not digest. Sometimes people will say, we need to digest the Word of God. Digest is to break things down. In our digestive system, at mealtimes and snack time, we eat food and then utilize our digestive organs and system to break the food down into compounds and molecules. But it doesn't end up there, for it is assimilated into us. You see, we then use these molecules to build new DNA and RNA, to build new cells to replace worn out or damaged cells. We use the amino acids from the proteins to construct new proteins and hormones. The utilization of food we ate now becomes a part of us, and we grow and develop. These molecules that we eat become a part of us. Thus, we are to study the Word of God, breaking it down to its important lessons. Then, and this is the important part, you assimilate them into our lives to make us more like Christ. Changes occur in our health when we assimilate molecules and compounds for food. Just like that, reading the Word of God without assimilating is like eating food that just passes straight through your digestive system without giving you any nourishment, no nutrition. It's the assimilation of the material that is so important here. And here, Abraham, we read, took God's word and implemented it into his life. His life was changed when he obeyed God. Matter of fact, he even has his name changed. Thus, Abraham teaches us to obey God is our purpose in life. Even when it makes no sense to us, sometimes we must take a step of faith into the unknown and go where God tells us to get the fullness out of our lives. We see this example right here with Abraham. That might mean for you today, it might mean leaving your home, moving down the street, moving to a different town, to a different state, or even to a different country. My question to you is this: are you ready to take that step of faith? If you're walking close with God, he will, remember, direct your steps. His Spirit will guide you if you let Him steer you. Let's look at verse 11. So this is Hebrews 11, 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Oh, so what's my purpose in life here? What do I learn by Sarah's example? Along with her husband, Abraham, Sarah did believe in God. Now, if you know the story back in Genesis, you know, this doesn't make sense to her. And even the science of the day, when it said it was impossible, she still is going to believe. I mean, from the Genesis account, we do see that she didn't believe at first. Matter of fact, she laughed at God, which didn't make God happy. But she did end up believing. Even when everything around her seemed to say that God's word cannot be trusted, Sarah believed. Does that sound familiar today with a lot of people? Why are you believing in the Bible? It doesn't make sense. It's a myth. No, it's not a myth. You see, she did not put God in a box and limit Him and His power by what others told her or what the science said of the day. She believed God could do the impossible. Even in her old age, she believed He could do the impossible, so she believed His word. So what do we learn about this, about our purpose in life from Sarah? We are to trust God and His word even when it doesn't make sense. If He leads you into something and others say that's not right, you trust in God. I'll let you know, personal story in my life, I have had many times when a fellow Christian tried to tell me and convince me that the path I was on is not the right path that I should be on, that the path I thought God was telling me to go through, no, that's not what you're supposed to do, Michael. And in one case in particular, I'm thinking of right now, I had this about making a major decision and moving my family and stuff, and I had a person tell me, no, you're not walking right with God. You're not listening to God right. I mean, I had great respect for this person, but I decided to check. So what I did is I asked 24 other Christians, some were mentors of mine who were walking close with God, to pray for me in finding the right path. And then I asked them, I will give you some time to pray about this, and I'll come back and I'll check with you to see what you feel about this. So after a while, they're praying on it, and after a while I came back and I checked on it, it was a couple of weeks later, and every single one I asked said, no, I believe that you are on the right path. I mean, I have used this advice so many other times in my life when I get confused on what path or I'm questioning something. If you choose to do this, if you choose to use my example here, and I got this from my mentor, Dan Hayden, who told me to use this type of a method. If you choose to do this, make sure you ask plenty of people of great wisdom, but make sure they are walking close with God to have them pray for you and then to ask their advice. If your decision is coming from God, His Spirit will guide these others to give you wise counsel. God's Word tells us that also in Proverbs and in the book of Psalms. In determining your purpose for life, God may have you go through some various routes to find your truest calling. But as you travel through life's journey, take these lessons with you that we've covered here. Look to His Word for guidance and talk to Him. Talk to God. Pray to Him. And like Enoch, if we walk closely with Him, He will direct our paths. That's right out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Out of the New Living Translation, it reads, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. So my friends, to find our purpose in life, here it is. It's so simple. We are, and we exist because we were created to worship God. We are to walk with God. Our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to obey God. And our purpose is to believe. That means to trust and commit your life to God. Even when those around us tell us that that can't be the way God said it to be, or that isn't the way I think you should be going, you believe in God. We need to believe. Let me just end with a really interesting story. If you've heard this example, pardon me for repeating it, but I love this story about this, how we're supposed to live our lives in any aspect of our careers or whatever. Johann Sebastian Bach. Oh, I love Bach. Bach had a very, very close relationship with God. Did you know that he wrote over 300 sacred cantatas? Not to mention his thousands of other works. But did you know this? On the beginning page and the ending page of all of his sacred works and most of his secular works, Bach would write three letters, S-D-G. He's writing this at the beginning, S-D-G, and he'd write it at the end. Now, they're not his initials. Johann Sebastian Bach does not fit that. No, what it was, it stood for this, Soli Deo Gloria. That's Latin for glory to God alone. That was Bach's life. In everything that he did, he was doing it to the glory of God. I even took this example to heart when I was in high school, when I first heard this, and I started putting this on my homework papers, my tests and things. Of course, to be able to do that means I had to do my best. Boy, my grade point average went up really well at that point. Bach did everything to glorify God. And even today, 270-something years after his death, the results of his life are still in use to glorify God. What a testimony. Father, we thank you for this time, and I thank you for the people who are listening, and I pray that more people will come to know you and trust you, to see your word as not a mythical book, but it's truth, and it's the blueprint of how to live our lives. Help us to see our purpose. For all those who are listening, help them to see the purpose of life as we go through our daily struggles and our life here in this fallen world. So bless us all. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. Thank you for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed this lesson. If you do, please pass it along to someone else. Tell them to turn into Evidence for Faith. We have so many things that are out there for free for people to listening. If you'd like to have me come and do a presentation on apologetics or Bible lessons or whatever at your church, organization, school, or whatever, please contact us at Evidence for Faith. So until we meet again, take care and may God bless.
Support the show. Become a donor at evidenceforfaith.org/give.
This break is brought to you by the Marine Biology Trip, an Evidence for Faith adventure in science and the Bible in the Florida Keys for ages 14 and up. Here's what a past student had to say.
Well, I have definitely grown in my knowledge on marine biology. I came here and I knew nothing, and I finished through this, and I feel like I learned a lot. And I also feel like I grew a lot in my faith and spiritually, because it has taught me how the Bible works. It's something that you'll never get somewhere else. Here is a place that I have felt very at home. The group is very inclusive, and all the people you meet here are going to be lifelong friends.
Find out more about this adventure by clicking the link in the description or go to evidenceforfaith.org/marinebiology. That's evidence4faith.org/marinebiology.